The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on the Still Just Fishing Show. We got Al Wiss here and Charlie Newton. Morning, y'all. Thank y'all for coming in.
Morning, Captain Vic.
And, hey, Captain Vic. Thanks for inviting us. Really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate y'all coming in, because I know last time Al was with me in here, he had a lot of good information, talking about, you know, lures and trout fishing and all that stuff. So, you know, I got several comments about how, you know, people enjoyed that a lot. So, you know, y'all fish together off and on. So,
for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've known each other since we were about 20 years old. Golly, been on a lot of fishing trips, Alaska, Costa Rica, South Florida, over to Louisiana, all around the Gulf, you know,
man,
spice of life, new places, new people, and new fish.
Whenever I want to get somewhere new, I just have to go to a different creek, I guess.
That is new.
Yeah, it is.
It's different territory.
It is.
Here lately, if you catch any fish, that's new.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it has been tough. It's been really tough with all this. And I think a lot of times it's not only the fresh water, but the low pressure. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem to affect these fish, you know, like the bull reds and stuff that we're catching, you know, down in, you know, 30, 40 foot of water. But I think the trout, you know, the reds, I think that barometer does a lot to them in that shallower water, you know.
Absolutely. Trout fishing for me has been a hit and miss. I've taken my grandson. The only good catching trip is we went and one morning on high tide and got into a few of them, but that right now is not happening.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I mean, it's amazing to me. You can see the color of the water change on different days. It's like when I went to Nassau yesterday, you know, to hunt for some flounder, I put that water in the live well, you could actually see the mud minnows really good. But if you go put water in the St. John's River, you can't even see the mud minnows in your live well. I mean, yeah, you just got to dip a net, you know, hopefully you get them, you know, with a dip net. But it's kind of strange how the water is so brown in the St. John's, and it's been that way. And I guess, you know, I don't claim to know everything about the St. John's and all that, but the thing about it is with that river being 300 miles long, I mean, we could get, you know, gully washers 200 miles south of us, 150 miles south of us. It's still going to come through here to go to the ocean. And excuse me. And I've noticed that, you know, you'd be out there in the river and all of a sudden you could see a change in color coming towards you. And it's like you being up in the cove sometimes, you know, you go up in there and it's like, you know, the water, you'll see a patch of it that's like real brown, and it's not mud. It's just like fresh water, you know, pocket of water coming through or whatever. I mean, it's been so strange.
Very tannic or very salinity laden.
Yes.
And it seems like this year to find any fish that they seem to be very concentrated, and, you know, you move around a lot, and pretty soon you'll catch maybe three or four or five, and then all of a sudden, well, they're either on to you or you've caught the little patch there, and maybe they're following the salinity pocket or something like that. It's kind of hard to explain. They're not widespread. They bite for a few minutes, maybe a certain tide, a certain little bit of water, and then you got to move on.
Yeah, and it's not like you can count on. I mean, normally this time of the year, you know, let's go get us a few trout, you know, we go get a few trout here and there, whatever. But this time, I mean, this year, it's like, I mean, I go out there looking for trout one day, you know, didn't get a single one. Go out there another day, we got 14.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there another day, you get two. Then you can't find them for a day or two.
It's no sustainable pattern like it normally is this time of year.
Exactly. And I'm hoping, I mean, I just can't wait myself until about the end of September, you know, get that water start cooling down, because the water is real warm in places. When I say in places, it's not as warm as it was, say, a month and a half ago.
Right.
I mean, it was really warm then. You know, we got up, I was marking places in the river, 89, 90 wow. degrees.
That's warm.
Yeah, but we've had so much rain now, it's not that warm, you know. But still, I think now, instead of the water being too warm for them, it's too fresh for them. So, which you would think, you know, the fish should be out there around the jetties and stuff. And there is a few trout around the jetties. But there again, that's hit and miss too.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I find out that, I don't know if it's something that's prevalent right now, but I'm getting a lot of short strikes. I don't know if y'all are experiencing the same thing. If I have top water, they come up, swirl it, or they come up and just look at it and go back to a twitch bait, and they'll short strike it. They'll hit it once or twice, and they'll finally get a hold of it. They'll, you know, take it and go with it. But I don't know if that's because there's so much bait in the water that, you know, they're kind of picky, or maybe they just can't see it as well. But I'm getting a lot of short strikes.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, too. Maybe they're not quite as active, you know, but the one thing I was fixed to say, though, is you're right about the bait. There's bait everywhere. I mean, there's small mullet. You know, we were in a creek yesterday fishing for reds in the afternoon. And you know how the mullet jump when they get constipated? They jump laying on their side to break the mud loose. There was not like showering out, like something was chasing them. But I look up at this creek and there's like, you know, 15 mullet jumping. And they're like 50 feet apart. I mean, they're not, you know, it's not something chasing them. They're just jumping to, you know, break that mud loose. But I mean, there's just, they were like 4 to 6 inches. I mean, plenty of bait everywhere. But yet when we catch a red, they're still full of stone crabs. You know, they're not chasing those mullet. And that's weird. I don't see any, like yesterday, I don't think we saw a single redfish strike anything, you know, on the bank or anything like that. And day before yesterday, we saw some striking. So it's kind of, you know, and we caught some nice ones up to 30 inches day before yesterday. But it's like something you can't really just like go in the creek and say, okay, there's a lot of reds in this creek, you know, and you don't see anything. You don't spook them with the boat. It's just like this, just nothing happening in there.
You know, I think we're still dealing with a lot of after effects of not only Hurricane Irma, which dumped all this fresh water. You know, if you go up in the river towards Palatka, all the grass beds are, back in the spring, they were dead still. And everybody that, you talk to people on docks and they say, yeah, the storm tore them up and killed them. I think we're still dealing with some of that. I think we're still dealing with some of the effects of this winter we had. I've seen water temperatures that I've never seen before in my life, and I've lived in this area all my life. In fact, I went over to Steinhatchee back in January, February. Water in the Gulf was 46 degrees. Yeah. I'd never seen water that cold before.
Yeah,
so I think we're still dealing with some of that effect, too, because people were telling me that they were catching saltwater trout 15 miles offshore. So I think a lot of our inshore fish followed the warm water out offshore. And I don't know, maybe a lot of them haven't come back yet because they got out there, they got comfortable, you know, and they hung around, and maybe they got in a food chain they weren't used to out there, you know. So,
well, especially in the Gulf.
That's right. And now we're dealing with all this rain again. So we've had a triple whammy here. But as it's been proven time and time again, Mother Nature will take care of it if we give her a chance to replenish herself.
That's what I'm saying. I'd be glad when we get about mid to the end of September. Everything's going to change, you know, again, like it usually does. You know, I mean, I get people to book up October real fast because, you know, that's a great time of the year. A lot of topwater bites, a lot of, you know, a lot of things happening. So anyway, if you'd like to, give us a call. 222-8255 is the number to give us a call. And we're going to get on to the weather here, the forecast, and then when we get back, we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterwards? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423 and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
The soothing sounds of the carefree life of coastal birds. You too can have a worry-free life by letting Frontline Insurance navigate your path to stress-free home ownership. At Frontline, we've been there for Floridians when the seas were more than a little choppy. Nearly 90% of Frontline's policyholders were paid within 3 weeks of having the damage to their home inspected after Hurricane Irma. Let Frontline Insurance be your lifeline to security and peace of mind. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida. If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
Yeah, it's been a tough going. Okay, here we got, looks like a high-pressure ridge will build over to South Florida over the next few days for the marine forecast. Daily rounds of showers and thunderstorms. Imagine that. Expected to move over the coastal waters, mainly in the afternoon and evening. And winds and seas will be locally higher near the thunderstorm. But anyway, they're showing today south southwest winds, 5 to 10 knots, becoming south southeast 10 to 15 in the afternoon. Seas 2 to 4 at 9 seconds, and a chance of showers and thunderstorms, of course. Tomorrow, southeast winds 10 to 15 knots, seas 2 to 4 feet, 8 seconds. Inland waters light chop. Chance of thunderstorms in the morning. That's changing. Chance of showers through the day. A chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, of course. And what we have for the tides on today, and because I know we had a full moon yesterday, or last night, I should say. But anyway, today you have high tide at 9:48 a.m. at Mayport. It's a 4.2. A low tide at 3:24 p.m. It's in a 0.1. And then tomorrow you have a 10:27 a.m. high tide at Mayport, 4.2, and a 3:57 p.m. Low tide at Mayport at a 0.2. And I always go by these Mayport tides because I know a lot of times you look at your these apps on the phones where they show you where you're at, the tides there. I've noticed a lot of difference in some of those, you know. And I mean, it's like they say, if you read the old, you remember the old folding tide charts we used to get all the time? Yeah. I know they had a thing on there. It was like it was supposed to be hour and a half difference from Mayport to the Acosta Bridge. Well, that's not right. No. You know, it's at, well, it's actually 3 hours at mouth of Trout River.
Yeah,
from and Mayport. It, mm-hmm. You know,
and wind and moon phase can change that.
It
too.
Changes it yep. a lot. The wind changes it a lot. Now, yesterday morning when we went bull redfish fishing. We went and got some ladyfish and then went up to do the bull reds. We had almost no current whatsoever for like 3 hours. And this being the full moon, that's when you really usually have these real flood tides and all. But I think it was only like a 4.1 yesterday, which on a full moon is usually like, you know, 5 point something for your high tide. And then you usually have a minus tide. Well, we're showing this full moon. It did get a little lower yesterday, but it still didn't get as low as you would expect on a full moon. We had a 4.1 high tide yesterday. And usually on a full moon like that, you'd expect it to be more like a 5.2, 5.3, maybe even get, you know, if you don't have a west wind, maybe even get to the point to where you got flooded grass, you know, for all the full moons and stuff. But this it's just been so weird this whole year. I mean, it's like the flounder was like 2 months late coming in, you know. And then that's something also. Now, they're catching a lot of flounder in St. Augustine. I don't know if y'all have heard that, but they are catching a lot of flounder in St. Augustine. And some nice ones down there. Excuse me. And up here, there is some, you know, some nice flounder around. I've seen some photos of some of them that are really nice. But there again, I went somewhere to last Monday. And just to see if the flounder were there, and then we caught 5 of them within about an hour, okay? I go back to the same spot yesterday and can't get a bite and fish there for 2 hours. And so that's what I'm saying. It's kind of, there was plenty of bait in there. You could see the bait. And I don't know if the flounder's in there and they're full, because, you know, they don't have a very big belly to start with. So who knows? You know, it's just such a weird situation, and that's one of the reasons I can't wait for this wet pattern and the warm water to change, you know.
And you know, sometimes this keeps fishing interesting because it's not something you're guaranteed. You gotta bring out your skills, you
yeah.
know, and see if you're still really a fisherman or if you're just going back to the same places over and mm-hmm. over and over again, and the fish are there because they've been there every year. So maybe this is a refreshing change to look at it in a positive aspect, you know.
Yeah,
it makes you hone your skills a little bit better and actually have to put some effort into it, you know. So maybe it's a good thing.
Some days you really have to work for it.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
And some days your effort's not rewarded.
Yeah. I've told people a lot of times, I'm like, now, you know, these fish aren't fired up. You got to make every bite count. And if you miss them, that's, you know, that's just one of the ones you miss. So, you know, if you're going to catch them, you got to make every bite count.
I tell people when they go fishing with me, you know, it's fishing, not catching.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And sometimes that gets frustrating, but that's part of the game. You
it
know?
Is. And it makes you learn more.
That's
I mean,
exactly
it actually
right.
it teaches you more the harder it is, because then you change up, like you're talking about, instead of doing the same old thing over and over and over again, you change up what you're doing because, I mean, you're wanting to catch fish. Yeah. You know, that's why you're going out there. I mean, you're trying to, you know, trying your best to try to be able to, you know, find out what's going on and be able to, you know, because I always thought fishermen were pretty smart. We're not like, well, I was going to say we're not engineers, but I used to be field engineer. But anyway, as far as like trying to learn different things, I mean, to get a fish to bite a piece of plastic, you know what I mean? You have to learn what that fish, how that fish reacts and how to work that plastic and all that stuff. And then when they change their bite tactics, you have to change your tactics to make them bite again. So, I mean, you know, I always thought fishermen were pretty smart, you know, no, anyway.
We're creatures of habit.
But, and that's the thing. See, if you keep going the same old, and it doesn't work, then it makes us kind of like, okay, this is what we need to do. We need to change this up and do this or that.
You know? And that's one of the things Al and I have always done in our fishing together is, you know, we'll say, okay, let's go catch some fish. We'll hit three or four of our spots and, you know, maybe catch some fish, maybe not. But we've always said on a fishing trip, all right, we're going to go to at least one new place and try a new place to kind of spread our horizon out, you know, in case our normal spots don't work out. Mm-hmm. We got another place to go at least try, you know, or eliminate from maybe this place doesn't fit our style of fishing or, nah, it wasn't as good as we might have thought it was, you know. So just try new things. That's the spice of life to me.
It is.
Yeah, you know, a new bait. You know, every once in a while you try a new bait that's got a different retrieve to it, and it's like, wow, this works.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something they hadn't seen, or maybe it's just a good bait, you know. You never
exactly
know about those things.
But, yeah.
Yeah, we like to try new things.
Yeah, because that was like back when they, you know, when you could find the provokers everywhere, Mary Lure Provoker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those. To me, that was a great trout lure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, you can't find them nowhere. I don't know if they even stopped making them, I guess, but you can't find them anywhere hardly. And it wasn't a, like a lip diver. It just had that little cut in the top of it.
I remember
that thing worked so good.
I remember you came to either a FLA meeting or a ISA meeting and you gave a seminar and I went and bought one of those. I still got it. I don't think I've caught a fish on it yet, Vic.
Oh, really? I might buy it from you because you can't find it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
One thing you need to get in the habit of is, you know, if you're fishing with a partner, is don't fish with the same lure.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, mix it up.
Yeah. Charlie, he likes top water.
Mm-hmm.
I do too, but I seem like I always get better, you know, better luck on a twitch bait. So he'll throw a top water. I'll throw a twitch. Now, if he starts hitting some trout on that top water, I'm not a purist. I will change.
Yeah.
I will change to a top water, and I've seen him change too. He'll be cutting off that top water and putting it on a twitch bait.
Yeah,
and usually we got the same color plugs or the same style plugs, but he retrieves his plugs a little different from how I to retrieve them, and he's got one that really I can't catch a fish on. I think he wants my plug because. Neither me or his son, Chris, can catch a fish on that plug. But he can really catch them on.
See, and it's just a little different.
It's a little
way
difference.
You
it's
work
a
it.
Little way you do
it. I mean, we talk about like Eddie Kabler. I mean, he loves those plastics. And, boy, he can catch some big old trout on plastics. Mm-hmm. Now, with me, I catch the larger trout on a hard bait, you know, and whether it's top water or, you know, a jerk bait or whatever. But that. He's got that twitch, that right twitch, and that's why he knocks off those 8-9 pound trout, you know, like that. And it's just crazy. I mean, I've always wanted to fish with him, never have, but, you know, we've talked about it for about the last 3 years, but, you know, but it's just something, that different movement, you know, that different action.
Yeah. Dan, also, excuse me, Charlie, also, I throw a spinner. He throws a bait caster.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that has a lot to do with it. But that's just what I like to throw.
Yeah.
And to me, it's easier on my body to throw that spinner when you start casting several hundred times doing a trip.
Yeah. And that's one thing with artificials. I mean, myself, I could do artificial all day. I love it that much.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't want to do it all day. And I can understand that if you're not used to it. Anyway, 222-8255 or 222-TALK, and we'll be back after this.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew. In Washington, firefighters say 500 structures have been destroyed in a raging Northern California wildfire. Another 5,000 threatened and in harm's way. CAL FIRE released the updated figures yesterday. The number of homes burned in the so-called car fire is expected to increase. Earlier Friday, officials said 65 structures had been destroyed. With pressure mounting, Michael Cohen, President Trump's former fixer, is taking more aggressive and public turn now in his attitude for the White House. He had largely stayed out of the spotlight since April. That's when prosecutors raided his office and seized records about his own and the Trump Organization's financial dealings in the past. New York writer Ronan Farrow says six women who accused CBS Corporation's chief executive officer, Les Moonves, of sexual misconduct had to overcome their fears of retaliation in order to tell their stories. This is SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month. And we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills. And MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered. And now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, August 1st from 5 to 9 p.m. It's the first Wednesday Art Walk in Hemming Park in downtown Jacksonville. Wednesday, August 1st at 6 p.m. It's Music by the Sea at the St. Johns County Pier Pavilion at St. Augustine Beach. And Saturday, August 4th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Z, the founder of the original Tunis restaurant, and Robert Rukab, owner of St. John's Seafood Restaurant, have teamed up. The result is a new national chain called Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp. Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp features the time-tested recipes of seafood and chicken and more. The first Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp is open at 847 Dunn Avenue, just west of I-95. The second will be opening in days at 101 Monument Road, just off Atlantic Boulevard. Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp, the best you've ever tasted. Now at 847 Dunn Avenue and soon at Monument Road.
WBOB tackles the issues.
The anti-war movement in Vietnam, the civil rights movement, in the 60s and early 70s, both of those were much more civil in tone. Even the anti-war movement was more civil in tone, but certainly the civil rights movement among the people who were protesting.
Every day.
Oh, Supreme Court, big ruling in favor of the faith-based pregnancy centers in California. Woo!
WBOB. Your 2018 election authority. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB. Your 2018 election authority.
Still some good driving around town. No slowdowns to report, but as for the weather, it looks like it's rain on and off all week. Partly sunny today, though, with a high 91, heat index of 101 and a 30% chance of showers. 40 tonight with a low of 76 in mostly cloudy skies. 50% chance of rain for your Sunday and Sunday night. Still 77 AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255.
And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And we got Captain Chip Wingo on the line. Morning, Chip.
Good morning, Vic. How are you?
I'm doing okay, sir. How about you?
I'm looking at a pretty lake right now.
Yeah, didn't you say Lake Santa Fe?
Yeah.
That's where my dad. That's where my dad lived before I built that little house for him in front of mine.
Wow, I love this place down here. I haven't been here in 30 something years, so it's nice to get back and do something a little different.
Yeah.
Fishing with Mad Dog this morning, so I'm sure he's going to put me on the fish. So kind of nice being guided.
Yeah, I wonder how that is.
It's pretty awesome. I touched troll better. Heck, last Sunday when we fished, he took off my fish for me.
Oh, wow.
Butter took it off and everything. I didn't know how to act.
Yeah, so. I bet.
That was a fun night yesterday, Vic.
Terrible.
The bull red bite was fun for us. So,
yeah.
I mean, at least we got on those. The small fish has been tough. So, you know, I told my clients yesterday, I'm like, hey, listen, we can put you on one of the biggest fish you probably ever caught or ever catch, but the small fish have just been a little tight.
Yeah.
So.
That's why I think the Brahminer is not messing with those big fish because they're so deep. You know what I mean? Because when we have this low pressure going on, I mean, it's like it's amazing. You know, some of the best stuff, I mean, some of the best fishing days. When I used to have that fishing Brahminer I watched on my dash all the time on that other boat I had. I mean, when you saw that Brahminer change in like 30 minutes, go up and then down a little bit and then up and down a little bit, that was just a phenomenal day of fishing. And of course, when you see it going up somewhat, it's okay until it gets too high. But here lately, when you check in your barometer, like looking at weather sites on your phone and everything, we've got low pressure on us every day, you know. And that's just, I think that's doing a lot to the fish.
Yeah, it's strange. You know, in the mornings, I've noticed that the fish were a little bit more active, but then, you know how we fish our tides all the time, and then all of a sudden the fish just aren't cooperating. It's kind of strange to me. So, you know, but I'm hoping that we'll get a little more steady weather pattern and get on a better flounder bite. It's what I really want to get on. So,
yeah, I hope so too. I know they're still catching some nice ones in St. Augustine. So, you know, probably down around maybe around Leon's area at Palm Valley. Maybe they have some down in there too. I mean, there's some up here, and there's some nice ones up here, but there again, it's, I don't know if you heard me talking a while ago, went Monday and caught five of them in like an hour, one spot, and then went to the same spot yesterday, you could not get a bite and fished 2 hours.
Oh.
I mean, it's just crazy, you know.
Well, I'm hoping it'll change for us.
Nothing. Yeah, it's going to, you know, just water. Like Charlie said a while ago, Mother Nature's going to fix it. It's, you know, it's going to straighten out. I mean, we just have a very unusual weather pattern. My wife asked me the other day about, you know, what are the meteorologists saying, the weathermen on, you know, on TV saying about why we're getting so much rain. They just say it's a wet pattern this year. So,
yeah.
You know, it changes. That's part of the global warming thing, you know. We're just going to have, you know, wetter summers and drier summers. I mean, actually, it's kind of refreshing away from that heat at times. So,
yeah. Well, I just don't like the lightning that comes in.
Oh, I don't either. We had a heck of a lightning storm last night.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
About to start throwing a frog in some top water.
All right, man. Good luck to you.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Chip.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Morning, Ted. All right, y'all out fishing?
Yeah, we in the water now. We headed to our spot, and we just fixing to try to hammer some bull reds or something.
Yeah.
That sounds like Chris.
It is. He's right here.
That would be Captain Chris. Yes, he is here.
There you go.
He put me at helm duty. I'm on a helm and. I tried to get him to do helm and me do throttle and have more fun, you know.
Well, are y'all heading close to the boat ramp there?
We're off the boat ramp. We're in the water.
Just coming out into the river.
Yeah. All righty. Well, there's some over there across the river. Pretty good.
Yeah, we're going to try to hit a few of them. I see some boats over there on that little island side over there.
Yeah, and I went over.
We're going to a different spot.
Yeah, I went up and got ladyfish yesterday, and but actually we caught, the ones we caught was on crab, so just to let you know.
Yeah, that's, we got about five crab, blue crab. We're going to give it a shot.
Well, good luck, and I'm sure I'll talk to you in just a little bit.
All right. We'll give you a call later.
Okay. Yeah, Ted, let us know if you get one on.
All right.
All right. Sure will. See y'all later.
All right. Bye, Vic.
Bye, Chris. Yeah. It's, some of that type of action, you know, when you're doing the bull reds, of course, you're just sitting there and put that bait down and actually drawing them to you. That's, you know, a lot different than going hunting for trout and stuff like that. So I think that's one of the reasons it's working so good. And, you know, they're also in that deeper water. So I don't know if, you know, the barometer would affect them, you know, that far down. I mean, they're past, you know, when they're that deep, they're, what's a fathom, like 30-something feet. So they're past that, you know. And, you know, for some reason or another, it's like, you know, the guys I had yesterday, they're like, yeah, that's the biggest fish they ever caught in their life. So that's fun. But, you know, when the other fishing is slow, something like that is really good.
Yeah.
You know.
Vic, do you think this is the resident bulls, or do you think they're starting to make their migration for spawning now?
Not yet. They'll get in big schools about the end of September and all through October, and then they go off in November.
Oh, okay.
To do that. And I think that has to do not only with water temperature, but also daylight hours.
Yeah.
For some reason, the things, all the stuff I read about, seems like that it's both the water temperature and the daylight hours. So it's like triggers them, because, you know, some years we'll have even warm weather in November, you know, and so sometimes it'll get cool earlier. Well, it doesn't seem to run them offshore. And so I think it's a combination of the two, because it seems like they always leave about the same time. It's the first or second week of November. This is when they disappear from the river. Of course, you know, you can catch them out at the jetties, you know, all winter.
Right.
Because there's some resident fish that, I guess our jetties are so long, you know, and the water temperature is so different out there. So I guess they just go out that far. I guess that's maybe some of the ones that are way up the river. And when they get that, they migrate that far, they hang around out there.
Well, what the biologists say is it's the amount of amount of daylight that passes through the retina of the eye.
Yeah.
For fish spawning, for the deer rut, for the turkeys in the spring, you know, for all mating seasons.
Yeah, it changes all up. I mean, you know, when we're talking about the barometer, too, I mean, in all the stuff I've read about, you know, different things, I mean, the barometer really affects every living thing, too.
Oh, yeah, even us.
And even us. The reason people don't notice it as much is because usually we eat at certain times, and so, yeah, you know, just it's not like it's going to make you go to feed more, you know. But sometimes, I mean, if you ever notice where you're hungrier than other times, I mean, that's the barometer. Or sometimes you sit down to eat, and you're like, you know. You don't eat that much.
Oh, no, I'm never that way. Now, wait a second. I'm always hungry.
me either. Yeah, my wife and Terry, a friend of ours from Tennessee, is staying with us. She goes, good gosh, I can't believe you're not bigger than the house, you know, because I eat all the time. But it's so funny, when I'm out on the boat, I'll have, you know, a Pop-Tart, maybe a stick of cheese, and that's about it all day. But if I'm at home, I'm eating.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But I get out there and I'm concentrating, and a lot of stuff I'm doing, you know, and here lately I pull up to a spot, and believe it or not, I'm thinking, okay, where I'm going next. And we ain't even started fishing that spot yet. But, you know, it's because I want to have it in my mind, when this doesn't work, I'm going somewhere else, you know, pretty quick, instead of just wasting time, you know, in one place.
You know, we're talking about different conditions and so forth, about small fish, big fish.
Mm-hmm.
What about shrimp? I mean, I haven't heard anything about the shrimp run right now.
I haven't either. And, you know, usually you hear up the river, way up the river, the 4th of July is kind of like the kickoff time. You start hearing about people catching bait shrimp, you know, a lot of bait shrimp, though, you know, not big ones. I heard somebody was catching some shrimp probably 3 weeks ago, and then that was it. And haven't heard I haven't heard any since. And usually, you know, people tell me a lot about that.
Yeah, I spoke to some guys Thursday night downtown near the Fuller Warren, and they said that they were catching a few small ones, but nothing of any magnitude, numbers or size. So.
Well, see, and I bet you not only is it going to affect that, all this rainwater, because it's going to push them out of there quicker, too. But we'll get more of that when we come back.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder. Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
What, yeah. What's that?
And we're back this morning.
Let's get Bill on first here.
Morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
You traveling? You traveling this morning?
No, no. But I did, I might be going back to work on the 26th or the, yeah, I think it's the 26th next month, which I'll be glad to do that, except I hate my job.
It's not fishing, right?
It's not fishing. It's not working on the house. You know, it's not laying around looking pretty. Although that's getting harder and harder. So you guys were talking about shrimp. I went out yesterday, and I stopped. The cardboard sign was up that said open at, what's her name? I think it's Angie. You know, the people that sell shrimp on Hexer there out of their house.
Yeah.
And I got lucky because I got there and they were just unloading the boat. They said the shrimp had just started coming in. They were all pretty small. Although he did have one, he called it a 912. I mean, it was monstrous. I don't know where in the heck they got it. It looked like a, you know, something out of a high-end restaurant. But they were pretty small, and I was lucky enough to buy some croakers from them. So that was fun, but I only caught one fish. Huh. I missed two. I caught about an 18-inch trout, which thankfully it wasn't a, you know, 13.5-inch trout.
Yeah.
So I got some food, but it's really run up my cost because now instead of paying $800 a pound for when I used to go out and get fish every time, I'm up to about $1,100 a pound for fresh fish.
Sounds like a deal still.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you.
If my wife finds out, I'm screwed.
I had this program that was called Fishlog 1.0 years and years ago. And what you did is you put it in, you put your information in, you put your own locations, all that stuff. Now, they had a page there, what they called a statistic page, and you put in, like, how much fuel you burn, how much bait you bought, you know, stuff like that, so you could fill that in. But anyway, what that program did, and I loved it because at the time, I had over 5 years information in it, but what you could do is ask it, where did I catch the most redfish the second week of April, you know, or April 12th or whatever. Yeah. And it would bring you up. It would bring you up the last 5 years. It'd show you the best location for that day for the last 5 years.
Dang.
Okay, so that was a great program. Okay, it was on my old computer. It crashed, so it's gone. But anyway, that statistic page, you just, after you filled in how much, you know, bait you bought and all that stuff and how much gas you burnt, then you hit the calculate. You didn't want to hit that calculate. Because like you said, some of it was $600 a pound, you know.
Oh, for sure. It's ridiculous. You know, and plus I just worked on my boat for a week.
Yeah.
At a dollar an hour, I'm losing money.
It's hard to put a price on fun.
Yeah.
Well, my theory is the minute I get in the boat, assuming it starts, and mine pretty much always does, I'm getting lucky right then, that minute. You know, fish are just the dessert or the topping on it, because it sure is a good way to spend a day.
It is, and that's the thing. The fish should be just a bonus. I mean, we talk about, you know, how the fishing is slow some days, and then some days you get out there. I mean, you know, it's like not long ago, I had two guys, we got 14 trout, and you know, I mean, we caught 14 trout, but I mean, as far as like going out the next day and not finding one, I mean, I always try to tell people, you know, you ought to, you know, enjoy the day. Fishing should be, I mean, the fish should be a bonus, you know, but here lately it's like it's a real bonus, you know, when you do get into them good, you know.
Yeah, I talked to, you know, oddly enough, Vic, I gave away some bait yesterday. I said, hey, you want some bait? This kayak guy, you know, my, oh, by the way, what have you been catching around here playing? And he had caught a 27-inch flounder the day before.
Wow.
And,
that's a big one.
Yeah, it was. And he said he caught three that day, but the one was 27. He caught on a white split-tail plastic.
Mm-hmm.
He was fishing with bait and plastics, but he'd caught nothing yesterday. And then go back to the ramp and, you know, some guy and his girlfriend or wife or whatever, they'd caught five legal trout. Nobody else caught a dang thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday was tough. It was really tough for us, too, yesterday.
Yeah, I'm hoping to grow up to be a catcher, man. This fishing stuff is too hard.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But, you know, there again, I mean, I've been seeing some pictures of some photos on Facebook and stuff of, you know, of course, a lot of that you can't really tell when they caught them, but...
sure.
You know, but some really nice flounder, but I haven't seen as many as you normally do for this time of the year. Yeah.
Well, I went up to the spot on the curve of the inlet, you know, that you talked about. We talked about you can't get in there at anything but the highest of high tides because the sandbar is so bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it goes up and underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
So I went there and we weren't getting anything, but I got to talk to a guy who was fishing, wade fishing, and he said he hadn't even had a bite. But his brother's been tearing him up there for a month. So who knows? But I watched him. Now I know where he fishes.
Yeah, there you go.
So there's that, you know.
That's it.
Uh-huh. You always, can do hunting while you're fishing.
Always keep your eyes open.
There you go.
I mean,
I let you guys go. I appreciate the show. And need to get that poor buddy there. He's got no coffee. That seems kind of mean for a wizard. You
yeah, I know. I've been staff. At each break, I've been going to tell him to bring his cup in here. I got my thermos, you know, all the time. So there you go. Yeah, he just heard me. So. Right. Yeah, well, each break we get talking in here and just I forget about it. But yeah, Bill, appreciate the call, man. And I'm sure I'll see.
Right, bye-bye.
I'm sure I'll see you out there soon.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Betsy.
Who?
Is it Betsy?
Betsy. Are we on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I have got a question.
Okay.
Can you please tell me, and I thought of you, I have mildew. Now, not mold, but just a few pieces of mildew clothes in my closet. And I thought, who would know about mildew? And I thought, Captain Vic, because of your boat. Do you ever get mildew? How do you get rid of mildew?
They make this little thing, this little bucket, damp rid, I think is the name of it. And what you do is you buy the little bucket and you open it up and you pull the plastic like sheet off the top so it activates it.
Okay, now, I've seen that. Have you ever used it?
I've used it, but what I like even better is there's a thing at Home Depot that looks like a bag of rocks in a net bag, and it looks like just a bag of rocks. But what it is very absorbent rocks. It's not natural rock. It's made, you know. But anyway, you can take that, and it's got actually a hanger on it, just like a clothes hanger, where you can hang it in your closet. And those rocks are very absorbent. Just don't let your clothes get against it to touch it so it can get good airflow. And that'd do it. And that works even better than the damp rid.
Did you know what that bag of rocks is called?
No, I don't.
It's a desiccant, ma'am. Desiccant is what they call it. And it's basically, it absorbs humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them I've ever seen.
D-E-S-I-C-A-N-T, desiccant?
That sounds like it. But most of it, once it gets fully, so to speak, saturated, it'll turn a different color. Like it probably comes in white, maybe. And then when it gets saturated, it'll turn into a blue. So you can tell when you need to replenish it or replace it.
Yeah, you just take it out, and throw it away, and then, you know, put another one in there, a fresh one in there. Some people tell me they take it out and set it in the sun and let it dry out, but, you know.
So then I'm spending $5,000 for a box, for a bag of rocks. Let me ask you this, too.
Sounds like fishing, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not that expensive, but, you know. But it does work.
Okay, now. What about, how do you get it off? Like, do you ever get it on, and it's not mold. You know, maybe there'll be a quarter size little smudge of mildew on something. Do you ever get mildew, like, on your boat cover or whatever they call those fancy things? How do you get that off?
My boat never gets covered, so I don't know.
It's my experience with boats for 40-something years is, you can remove some of it with a bleach mixture, but once it stains, it's very, very difficult to eliminate completely. You're still going to have a stain there, but you can remove most of it. So it's challenging. It's challenging.
Well, and it's not very bad, but you know, you don't want that. Okay, then I've got another question. There was an eclipse last night on the other side of the world. Does it affect all the, and I heard Thursday evening overnight on the radio that would affect the animals. Did that affect the fish last night?
I don't know. I didn't fish it during the night, so I don't have any idea. I wish I knew, but I don't.
Does the other guy know?
No,
ma'am. I think it's such a short period that it probably the, if there's any effect whatsoever, it's probably negligible.
But I don't know, because this was the longest eclipse in like 50 years. It was a very, very long eclipse.
Well, if it might have done something where it happened over there, I don't know. But it you know, I don't know that it would affect them here at all.
All right.
Okay.
So
I hope.
And maybe. Then I got to ask you a question. I was at a fancy, well, nice restaurant, fancy restaurant, not too fancy. But
you gotta make it quick. Gotta make it quick. We're fixing to go on break, so go ahead.
I got red snapper. Well, can you stay on after the break and answer my question during the break?
Yeah. Go ahead and ask it then.
I got red snapper. I was surprised. It was kind of tough. It was thick.
On the topic. Yeah, on the top it was thick.
Is red snapper a thick fish?
Yes, it is. Sure is.
And it's kind of tough?
Depends on how it's cooked. Usually not, but it depends on how it's cooked.
This was grilled.
Yeah, that shouldn't have been thick then. I mean, it shouldn't have been tough.
Well, it wasn't tough exactly. It was just thick. You know, it was kind of...
Well, I appreciate your call, Betsy, and we'll talk more about that when we come back, and I'll thank you for your call.